Okay, we call the work session order at 6:01.
I wish I wasn't so worried.
All right, we'll start with Jerry's going to talk about his pavement management plan. Now, this has to be revised, but he wants to at least just go over it until next week or the next meeting when we do the final one. But he just wanted to bring you up to date on that.
First, you got this. Okay, this is the Connell Terrace project estimate. Okay. You can see what that entails. If you look on this pavement management plan, this document, okay, you'll see that way at the top of the last page, total construction, all right, 354. You'll also see it reflected on major project planning, Connell Terrace reconstruction project, okay? That is a calculation sheet on what it will cost us to do that job, and it's $354, all right? So that's kind of an item by itself, if you will. On the first page of the Mill and Fill Road, like I said earlier, all the roads all the way down to just X West Entry, we shouldn't have included it in this document because it's an add to the budget number.
Well, I told, when Jerry was doing this, I told him to add that in, and that was my mistake because we have to modify the budget in order to do this. And in addition to, after rereading the grant, there's some additional documentation that we have to have from the county prior to expending any monies. So I told Jerry that has to come out, and you know, that's my mistake, not his.
Just take that out.
Yeah, the 150. Yeah,
that'll be a whole separate thing.
Standalone.
That we'll do, because
yeah.
West Entry wasn't really on our radar for this year, other than we know the road's bad, but we've been trying to get grants for years for that road.
Well,
now we finally got a grant headed our way.
Yeah, our legislator, Brian May,
yep,
came through. When we did, we applied for the money for that grant, and or we applied for that grant and weren't going to get it, and he got involved, he called me up and said, hey, did you apply for anything? And I said, we were told we couldn't do it for that. And he said, reapply, and we were able to get it. So thanks to him, we got it. And then the National Grid, that just came to fruition today, actually, right?
Yes. West Entry Road, basically, we all know where it is, and then we know where the railroad tracks are. From the railroad tracks to down in front of my shop at that stop sign, that section is where we're going to use the grant, the $50,000 grant, to do that piece of road. From the railroad tracks coming back toward Radisson, the Loop Road, National Grid, is doing a major update, if you will, of their main electric service lines. And they ran into a problem with where they were going to locate the new lines, and because there's sewer, there's communications, there's gas, there's water, all up that shoulder of the road where they intended to put this. So they came to me and asked how I felt about them coming up to the roadway. And we've had long discussions over the last, what, couple months, Al? We've had conference calls with them and everything else. They want to start that project in April, and it'll make their project, if they went down beyond the ditch and up on the rear bank side, then they'd be into marshlands and stuff and be dealing with DEC and all kinds of other stuff. So they came to me and asked, and I says, well, if we run it down the white line, so to speak, that's a 36-foot road. I says, but you're going to have to compensate us and redo that section of the road. Now, this is their first phase of this deal, and they intend to almost back-to-back it and do from Loop Road to Willett as well. And so I approached them about either funding us or repaving that part of the road with their own vendors or whatever. We've got, and I'll get into that here in a second too, I gave you a letter on that. That section of road, as near as we could figure, would run us around $102,000 to repave that. And I said, you give me that, you can run it down the shoulder. I don't care. And we'll repave the road behind you when you get your lines in. And what they gotta do, they've gotta excavate about a 3-foot wide trench. What do we figure, 4 vaults they're gonna put in there? And after they run their conduit electrical lines, they encase it in concrete, then they put in runner crush. I told them, bring that up to grade, and then we'll deal with it after that. If you cut us a check for the 102 to redo the road, we'll take care of it with our vendor. Because our vendor under contract is more reasonable than any of their piecemeal vendors to just patch in. I don't want that road patched in. It's way too much traffic. I want it done and done right. I want things stepped back. So we want to oversee the pavement of the road. And today, your project manager, name's going to escape me, came and met with me instead of by phone, and we talked and walked, and he went back to their project estimator with what I felt would make us whole on that road, and they agreed to it. $102,000, they'll help fund the paving of that section of road. So that's just about covered. That'll get West Entry done from the stop sign all the way to Loop Road.
That's cool.
And very, very little, minimal out of our pocket money. So we felt safe in doing that. We're moving forward. So now it's a paperwork issue. So that'll be, West Entry is a separate project, if you will. Shouldn't have been rolled into this $898,110 that I was budgeted for the year. Just proper way of doing it.
So is that 530 change, or is that?
Yes, that 530 will change by a negative 150 down to 380,993. Okay. But other than that, all those other roads we intend to do. And if you notice, it's like two very large sections in Radisson off of Glacier Ridge area. I think that's the road you're on. Yeah, Glacier Ridge. There are areas that, we tried to get near last year and couldn't. Now this year we're going to get two sections done in there. So then if you go to the next page, you see the oil and stone roads, Swamp, Avery Gates, Coal. There's an intermunicipal agreement floating around here that I've written up. I think you've seen it, Tony. To go between us and Granby to formalize who does what. And it's exactly what's been being done for umpteen gazillion years. Somebody did a handshake way back when. We're putting it on paper. I've already talked to Granby. Already wrote the letter, basically, and it just spells out the feet distances. I took the time to measure everything to the foot. So
Now I looked that over, and we're good with that, right? Because what we're essentially doing, that road goes down right down the middle
it
of the
does.
Road. So what they've been doing is, on the handshake, like you said, Jerry would plow a certain amount of it, the whole road. Granby would come in and plow the other half of it, the whole road. Well,
it actually worked out is, I'll use one section as an example, from Plainville Road going east, okay, back to the curves. There's a couple big sweeping curves there. The Oswego County, Onondaga County line goes right down the middle of that road and goes straight off the curve. So what has been being done for years and years, half of that distance, because once you go around the curve, you're out of our county. You're out of our town. We got nothing to do with it. So what's been going on there for years, half that distance from Plainville Road to the curve where the line drops off, they've been maintaining, we've been maintaining the other half of that linear feet. So, nobody's doing one half of the road and the other half of the road. And actually, they plow that whole section. We don't. Because they've got to continue on and keep going. It just makes sense. That's what's been being done forever. So if you see a copy of that, I don't know if I...
It should be.
They have it.
Yeah,
they all have it? Okay. Yeah. You'll see how it says who's who's maintaining the road surface, the drainage, and who's plowing what. Because some areas, like we plow Cole Road from Plainville Road to Shuba, but the line actually goes straight off after you go past Shuba Road. It goes straight off of that curve. Well, they plow from Shuba all the way up around to, I think it's called Floridaville Road, somewhere up in their town. So, you know, it's been a good working agreement for years and years, who's been doing what. You know, they plow where it makes sense for us. We turn around and come back from where it doesn't make sense for us to go any further. So it's worked, so I put it on paper. That's what it amounts to.
You looked it over, Tony?
Yeah.
There's no problems doing it this way.
The only thing I added to it was a time frame that either party can terminate it by giving the other 90 days notice.
Okay.
I mean, you can go on forever, but yeah. if something happens, you say, we can't do this
right.
anymore. We have to have a way out. So
yeah. Okay. But I mean, there's no problem with us doing it that way, as long as we have that agreement.
Right.
The other way we were doing it, really, this
been
is better.
We've been doing it longer than, I've got guys that have been there over 35 years, and none of them can remember who made the deal, so it's been going on a long time.
Nobody, you know, based upon what we're doing, I don't see anybody would criticize it.
No. Yeah,
because it makes sense for both
times. I mean, the only way I could see if somebody on one side of the road didn't think they were getting the service that they were supposed to get. That's
now, does this include resurfacing that road?
Yes.
It does. Okay.
That agreement you see spells out the fee.
Okay.
We maintain the surface and the drainage of feet.
That's what you mean by maintenance. Okay.
Yep.
All right, good.
And beyond that, the plowing, I think I spelled out separately on each of the roads.
And like, this has been going on for a while.
Oh, I know.
Why,
I just wanted, well, you guys asked about it last year when we were going to put the sealing oil and stone on Cole and Plainville from the year before when we mixed paved it. There was some question about ownership, and this just finally formalizes it. So who's supposed to do what?
Well, what it does is it protects us if...
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
You could do it. We probably could have gotten away with it for a lot longer, but at least now it's in writing. We're doing what we all agreed to.
Okay.
So that's that. Then McIntyre, Guider, and Mariner's Trail. Now, Mariner's Trail, there's a noted final 1,000 feet because last year we had some real drainage issues on that road, and we were afraid we might have had to cut up the road when we did the drainage work. And we re-oiled and stoned all of Seneca States last year except for that 1,000 feet of Mariner's Trail because the oil and stoning was done before we addressed the drainage issue. And we didn't end up cutting the road, but that's the way it works. So now we'll hit that 1,000 feet and move on. But if you notice those roads, that works a corner of the town. And at the conclusion of this pavement management plan, pretty much every road west of 690 has had a maintenance goal put on over the last 3 years. So
good.
We're making progress, as well as other areas we've done it too. Right. But it's a big thing to get a section like that done. Now those totals there, you see the total of 155,456, that is an actual quote total from SUPCO for that section, and my estimate was 156, so we were pretty damn close to each other on that one. So that's not going to change. Major project planning, we already discussed that, the 354. Okay, so.
And that includes, we're talking, same thing like Mott Road, drainage, everything, right? Because that should eliminate their, okay.
Yeah, that's this sheet tells you everything we're doing there.
Yeah, okay.
For the 354. So anyway, to finish it, that first number changed on that first page, or will when I give you the cleaned up copies. And you add that to the 155, you add it to the 354, and you come up with 890,449. Okay, and our budgeted amount on that first page is 898,110. So that leaves us a difference of a little over $7,000. And you can even see that on that last summary page. You see that 7,681? That number represents the difference between what you budgeted us and what our estimates tell us, the ones we've got in this plan for that cost. And then you'll see below that difference, you'll see crack seal, culvert, unanticipated pipe replacement. That's if something happens during the course of the year. And then you've got the Willett Parkway. We've been trying to change out basins, move them out of the road, and change the pipe under the roads. We've been doing X number a year. So we'll apply that 7,000 and change towards those items, as well as anything that we were estimated, let's say, high on. You know, we can put that toward crack sealing more, or, you know, doing more of the Willett cross pipes. That's kind of, that's your catch-all at the end. We'll use that after we get the bulk of the work done, we'll apply it toward that. And that basically sums up your pavement management plan. So if we, you know, this front sheet's not going to change. The one with my signature on it, that is the miles that are represented by everything but West Entry.
So West Entry's not that 10, not in that 10.24, not including West Entry.
Nope.
So that doesn't change at all.
No. So that page is actually solid if you guys felt so inclined. But if you want to wait till next week, at least it's all been explained, and I'll hand you the clean copies. You can sign off on the plan. And
so say that this all adds up to
89449.
And so what do you have left after you spend all of that?
Well, if you take that off of your, you gave us 898110.
Okay, so approximately
almost,
9,000.
Just under
$4,661. Okay.
So the only question I have is, what if anything else happens in the course of the year? Something breaks, or you need to put some more, my broken record thing of those things on the side of the road.
Oh, guardrails?
Guardrails.
Guardrails?
Yeah, whatever. What happens?
It's all right.
You've got $9,000 for something when things break. So what happens?
We have contingency built in all the
So we're using contingency as our safety net. Is that a good idea? I mean,
no, we have. I don't have the budget in front of me, but there's money budgeted for those type of items.
No, there isn't.
That he's talking about?
No, it's either in the
road. He's talking about like a guide rail. If someone, like last year, we had someone creamed the one on Coppernel,
mm-hmm.
broke the bridge above.
Yeah.
Well, their auto insurance paid for that. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
it didn't cost us anything.
What you're saying, and I'm not criticizing this, I just want to make sure we're okay, that there's nothing else, we're not worried about anything else in the year.
I'm not for this construction season. I mean, you know, you've got the 7,661 number representative there, as already that's sitting over here unused, can be applied toward. And it's like I say, as we go down to our estimates, we generally have our estimates. I'm
10%.
Yeah, a certain 10% maybe.
Jerry's using those same spreadsheets that I developed for Gene, and they all have about a 10% contingency.
Yeah. And it's worked well for us the last 3 years. We
got
done with all our
for.
Roads. Our estimates were really good.
So
really
the 7,000 is more than 7,000.
If you find
me?
Them.
Yeah.
So the 7,000 is more than 7,000.
Well, yeah, that's a minimum amount that would be left after these projects are completed.
So are there guide rail areas that need to be addressed?
There is certainly spots that guide rail could be looked at on the west side of town. Leave it at that.
Well, what I know you don't want to open up a Pandora's box, but
no, that's why we're gonna continue to evaluate as we do. If we have an area that is a concern or we're having accidents, we will certainly address it and add some additional data.
And you, I guess you want me to not talk about.
We're
this,
being non-committal here.
Yes.
Well, I guess as a board member, maybe you should talk to me in an executive. I don't know. I want to know. I just want to make sure. Should we put $50,000 aside to take care of this instead of repaying this?
Well,
I don't know this.
No, point. You asked us a while ago because I remember you brought it up. You know, obviously we fixed all the ones that we were well aware of, and then we had the one that the car hit, and we fixed that one, and now that's better than it's been in umpteen years. Because we did both sides. So you mentioned, could we ever come up with a list, you know, and we would have to go out and evaluate all areas of the town for where would the most critical need be. You know, you'd have to prioritize that list and say, jeepers, you know, when and if you put it in the budget, a certain amount of your road plan to go toward guide rail based on the cost per foot, then we would have to prioritize our list of where would be the next best place to put one.
Sure.
Like, I think it was up the road from your house there by that 5 foot culvert.
Yes.
That never had guide rail on it.
No.
Right, you put that one in.
We put that in.
Yeah, I remember when you
put that. Then we went up the road further, and before you got to Lamson Road over the swamp, that we reset all that with longer posts to straighten that up. Then I think it was around on Rabbit Lane, I think I did another one over there that was in poor shape, and added longer posts to make it more supportive. So, you know, we've addressed them. We found a way through our road monies to address them as they occurred.
The big deal, you know, the big thing is, Bob, we'll certainly, you know, if the board wants it, we'll put my intern on it this summer to come up with a list of all the areas that could use guide rail based on the DOT standards. The bottom line is, because it's a safety issue, once we've identified it, and it needs to be funded. If it's not funded, we got a significant liability. So,
right.
So, I mean, I want the board to be aware that, you know, if that's what they would like, I will certainly go ahead and do that, and we gotta fund it.
I agree with you. So I think we need to, if we're gonna do that, let's have some further discussion on this. I mean, obviously, listen, if we know that there's a definite place that we need it. You know, there's been 20 accidents in a place. We got to do something.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying
absolutely.
That. But, yeah, I mean, just to, if you could put any standard and then someone could sue you because if something happens and really, is it a hazard or isn't a hazard? Well, it might be a hazard because someone can't drive. If we identify real hazards, we should be doing something about that. But I think how we go about it is, I don't want to just open up ourselves to liability unnecessarily, but if there's a definite need for safety in some area, if you've identified an area, I mean, we can keep a list throughout the year.
I think I might be being misunderstood. I'm not stupid. I understand the idea that if you identify something and you don't fix it, you know, you just put yourself in a really bad position. All I've been suggesting over the last several years, and maybe it's too late for 2021, is pick a number. I don't care what it is. Is it $25,000? Is it $50,000? And just plug it in the budget that for all miscellaneous and additional road improvements, including but not limited to guardrails. And just pick a number. But don't identify the thing until you decide that's the one we're going to fix in this particular year.
Because that kind of goes with, I think it was back in 2013, you did the culvert plan. Study, whatever you want to call it, you identified most of the culverts.
But don't even identify them. Just be
no. But I mean, they identified them, and this is how we've addressed them. As we've resurfaced the road, like I'll use the example of this past season, we changed 29 cross culverts in the town that were metal. Cut the roads open, took them out, put in the plastic, put them back, and then we oil and stone those roads. So, you know, they were identified on a piece of paper as going bad or near bad or whatever back in 2013. And I can use the example of the first road I even resurfaced when I took over, Dog Harbor. You know, the plan showed 3 on there. There were 6 on the road. We ended up changing half of them because they were in such a state of disrepair that they wouldn't last to the point of the next resurfacing of the road. So, you know, it's one of them things we do it as we do each road. We dig the ditches, we change any bad culverts.
Right, but all I don't want to.
And if there was a spot that was horrible for guardrail, we'd include
Jerry,
it.
I don't want to be misunderstood. All I'm trying to say is in the beginning of the year, without identifying which ones you're going to do, just plug a number into the budget. Now, here's what I'm thinking, and tell me if I'm wrong, Al and Jerry. If you're telling me that these are got a 10% contingency in them, then you're playing with about $100,000 here. So it would make me feel of money that's not allocated. I mean, give or take. I mean, you can't tell exactly that.
We won't know.
But let's say you've got $50,000 that, as these bids come in to do this work to buy the materials, and we're sitting on piles of money. I'd like to see you plug it into those other things.
So Bob, I think the other thing that we got to be cognizant of is the budget's down from last year. We're down about $200,000 from where we were in 2020.
Okay.
So, and as you know, we got significant needs from a pavement management. know what we're gonna find when we mill the roads off. There's gonna be areas where we have to do binder repairs. There's gonna be areas where we have catch basin aprons and risers that need to be replaced. There's gonna be catch basin frame and grates that are gonna need to be replaced. We don't know that stuff until we really get the surface of the road tore off. So we have to keep that 10% built into that estimate to deal with that stuff. And we have, from a road surface standpoint, we've got some significant needs.
So what you're saying is the road maintenance needs are more important than the guardrails. And if that's the case, I accept that.
It is.
I accept that.
This is the road list that this is the very first scratch list for this year's pavement management plan.
So
just to show you just quickly, you see the ones that aren't highlighted?
Yeah.
They were ones that were in my plan that I wanted to do this year, but we didn't have the funds to do them. So they become the first roads on the plan for next year.
Well,
you know, for whatever budgeted monies there are, that's where we're at. So,
but I think if there are some monies, I think what Bob is asking you is,
if there was a known spot,
but
use it.
If there's some money left over and we can go out, say we got, like you said, an additional $10,000, and we can identify that as some additional funds that we don't have allocated. Maybe we can look to allocate it into some of the guardrails. Is that something that we could do?
Yeah, I mean, a couple years ago, we took and did the first 1,300 feet of Drake's Landing from Route 31 in with monies that were left from our whole pavement management plan for the year, because it was like a washboard and we were getting multitudinous complaints. We did the first 1,300 feet. Well, by no means is it going to end there. Eventually, it's got to go past the next intersection because it's the braking action and things, and hot summer days, it's just moving.
Jerry,
so,
just approximately, how much do you think that costs?
What?
Put the guardrails in.
Well, it depends on the job. Depends on the anchorage. It depends on the length of the post. Depends on how many feet of guardrail you're putting in. You don't want to bring a vendor out to do guardrail because most of them come from what? Geneva, quite a ways away. And so when they come out, you want to have enough for them to do where they got at least a day's work. And they work fast. So it's expensive. What was the, I'm just trying to think of one of our examples.
Copper Knoll was 65, I think, last year total.
No, that was closer to 15,000, if I remember right.
For both sides of the road on that one.
Yeah.
What about the?
And it wasn't very long. Just so
right,
you know.
That's a short one. Yeah. What about?
I was thinking 65 for. Was that Dingle Hole and Rabbit together?
No, one of them was 35,000. I think that was the swamp.
Yeah.
Swamp.
Yeah. I mean,
and then
it
so,
all depends on what you got them doing.
How about that giant one that covered on Dingle Hole, just down from.
That was up there pretty good too. The one
of
the 5 foot
one
year
was
yeah, that one.
That was all new install. I can't tell you.
I don't expect you. I didn't know if you had
rack
that number.
Up a big bill.
No.
It doesn't take long to rack up a big bill with it.
Yeah.
Especially right now, steel's on the way up. I mean, it's only getting more expensive.
Okay.
As long as it's kept on our radar, I guess that's.
No, that's fine.
If you went in the water on Dingle Hole Road in the spring, you would have been in close to 5 feet of water. I mean, that's how much water is in there.
Well, now you're
and
smash
and
your
now
steel
to
get there.
And now there's a lot of steel between you and that water, which is good. So, all right.
Constantly making improvements somewhere.
I know.
Okay.
So that's basically that. That answered most of your questions for roads and where we're working and why we're doing it.
Question for Connell Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the first time there's ever been any significant work on that road to your knowledge?
No. 25 years ago, maybe?
Approximately.
Somewhere in that range. They did from Dexter Parkway. You'll see the concrete sluices look nicer. And the road surface looks nicer from Dexter Parkway going...
I want to say it's 1,300 feet.
West. I had it here. I think it was like 850, but anyway, that was done many years ago. So many years ago that the Connell Terrace project, from that point where that ended, okay, that drainage down there by Dexter seems to be working fine. From that point going down and up around the curve and all the way up to the cul-de-sac, No, the drainage is inadequate and the road is literally coming apart at the seams. The concrete gutters are gone in spots. That's the part where major reconstruction. But as part of that reconstruction, included in that is when we're laying down the asphalt, we're going to mill and fill that last 850 feet down to Dexter Parkway because it needs it. It's all cracking and all right, but right here, let's mill that and fill that at the same time. So they got a new road from Dexter Parkway all the way up to the cul-de-sac.
And that will take care of the west side of the Indian Springs development. We still have
Exeter.
Exeter on the east side.
And they're short
Dexter
roads.
Parkway. There's unfortunately, Eden and Exeter have zero drainage on them.
Right.
They have nothing. So we're starting from scratch on both of those roads from a drainage standpoint. At least with Crego, Mercer, and Mott, we had some existing drainage that we tried to tie into and reuse and save. Those two roads legitimately have nothing on them. Not a catch basin to be seen.
And the other piece of the pavement management plan puzzle, I gave you a little letter from Roselli Northern, okay? And what that is I was in communication with them over the last 2 weeks. And because when we bid jobs with them each year, they've done work for us, we always had an 18-month clause in the contract that we could activate and use at the prices that we had at the time the contract was bid and carry it forward. So basically, you could get two construction seasons with no problem out of one bid. And I contacted them because our prices last year were absolutely beautiful. And I says, are we going to be able to exercise our option? Because one little clause in the contract says we both have to agree to that. And we did. We agreed to that. Even though your asphalt index went up just a skosh for March, what that amounted to, that's what controls our prices of our paving products, the tack coat, the asphalts, all different grades, and that index nudged up just a little bit for March. It's redone for every month, and if it's going up, that's bad news for your pavers that are locked into a contract. So this last nudge it took brought us just above where it was at when we did our work last year, which was at the $50 a ton installed. And our communication with them, will you hold that price? Will you work with that price? And they said yes, because that little nudge that it just took would make a difference of 75 cents a ton. So it was pretty minuscule. They felt comfortable with it. The milling costs, they said, are good. The tack coat price is good. So we're going to go forward with the same prices we had last year. The only stipulation was they hope we get it ready for them as quick as we did last year, where they want to do the bulk of the paving, let's say May, and that would be the June escalation if the oil prices, how the oil prices go is how the asphalt index goes. So we've all seen them go up a little bit, but right now we're good. So they agreed to move forward, and you'll see it right there. Hopefully we get it done basically April, May, and we can, as long as Mother Nature cooperates with us, we'll get it done early, like last year.
Tent temperatures permitting, obviously.
Yep. Yeah, we're not going to put the asphalt down at 30.
I was going to say, last year, April was just darn cold.
But when we laid the asphalt in May, it was 90 on a couple of
days. Yeah, we had good weather when we were working in May. But
yeah, April's, it got out early.
April's tough for top course. It'll more than likely be.
Actually, we reversed last year. Instead of doing the oil and stone first and the hot mix second, we did the hot mix first to get it done. So
yeah, we'll probably be in the same situation.
Yep, we'll do the same thing. We'll do the prep work ahead of them, and then they'll drop in behind us, mill fill, and we'll have that part of the stuff done. So on the good news side of things, New York State Association of Highway Superintendents notified us through email that the anticipated, I know we held back in our budgeting process, because last year they knocked 20% out of the CHIPS money, We got all of ours because we got the work done early. That's why we pushed so hard so we could get it in and get the money. Everybody that got it done late got 20% less of their CHIPS money, paid New York money. But we just received an email that told us that they're going to restore, of that 20% they knocked out, 15% of it. So where we budgeted based on the 20% reduction, there's actually 15% more coming to us on that. So before they change their minds, we'll get this work done and get the paperwork in. And so we'll know for sure come April 1 or 3 when the state budget is done. But that's our anticipated. They'll give us back 15%, or those that got shorted it last year, they'll be able to get that other 15% this year. So,
okay.
I think that pretty well tears up the.
Hey, we got a couple of more things we got to put on the agenda, but thanks, Jared.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, I can hit that fairly quickly for you. The other document I gave you, it's something that we've been wanting to do for a while. It was basically going through all the maintenance records that we had, which only go back to 2012. Okay, you'll see that on some of these trucks that are listed. You'll see, like on the very top sheet, 2008 to 2011, I've got an NA because we got no records. I don't know what money went into it. But if you go from 2012 to 2020, at the bottom, we've put that much into it. Okay, and that's a 2009 truck, all right? The next one is brand new, year old, okay? So obviously not much has gone that way, but I will tell you, given the type that is, that's an IH, it's been on the hook 4 times already under warranty. So I'm not impressed, okay? The next one, truck 6, that's our absolute brand new one, that's a Western Star, so obviously at the bottom there's minuscule amount of money involved there. That was to buy a set of filters for maintenance. So, truck 7, again, NA 2004 to 2011, because we only got the records back to 2012. Gene, thanks for starting that deal. We've continued it on, trust me. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it really does. And so we dug this all out. You look at truck 7 and you look at the totals been spent on that truck since 2012. It's a pile of money. You look at truck 8, same thing, pretty big pile of money. Okay. Truck 11. That one should scare your socks off. The amount of money that's been spent on that truck. That's a 2010, so there's only 2 years that we don't have parts and maintenance for. And look at the money that's been spent on that truck. It's scary. And then you look at the brands too. So,
yeah.
Okay. You'll notice the commonality.
Yeah.
Now you go to truck 17. It's in its third winter right now. And look at the bottom line on that one. And look at the brand on it. Okay. The next one is a real scary thing, because right now that bottom number is going to change by about another, let's see, 7 and 3, about another $10,000. It's going to go up because that truck's out of service right now. It's in the repair shop again. It's been out of service more this winter than it's been in service. It's probably costing you 20 grand this winter just to keep that truck running. So that thing, now 2011 is when it was delivered, but it's a 2012. So that's the maintenance and history on that. You add that other money to that 106 at the bottom that I'm talking about. That truck, to the best of my knowledge, when it was brand new with the plow package, was $183,000 and change. We've almost bought that truck twice. So that one needs to go away as soon as possible. And I'll have more for that on you in the very near future. Okay. Truck 29, that's the one that blew the motor that time. When it was 10,000 miles in its infancy, that's a 2014, so we got all the records on that one. That's a pretty healthy number at the bottom there. And this one's my shining example of a brand, okay? That's a 2015. It's in its 6th winter right now. And you look at that number, that's not very bad, is it? divide that by six, your annual cost of maintenance and parts is pretty low on that truck. And that truck has over 30,000 miles on it already. So,
I have a question.
Yeah?
We own a 2020 International.
Yep.
How come?
Well, we do have a 7-year warranty on it, and they had re-engineered the 6-cylinder motor. That's the problem with that truck 18, is that max force motor. It's a big explanation, but just know that got totally re-engineered and almost bankrupted IH. We had a class action lawsuit because of that motor and got back the $12,000 out of all that money we spent to keep it running. So that proof in the pudding. Huh?
So we don't have to check that.
No, that figures. But
so
got notified of it, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Checks in the mail. Yeah.
Yeah, checks in the mail. But let's just say the truck that's on order right now that should arrive in May, June. That's a Western Star. So as long as I'm sitting here, it's your power plant. It's a Detroit, a DD13 motor versus the IH version of their 13-liter motor. I'm just not impressed, not overwhelmed by it. Now, granted, the issues we've had with the 2020 that took it out were pollution type, electrical type, you know, but it made it where it didn't run. So, you know, it's no good to me if it's not running. And thank God I did the warranty I did on it. It does 7 years. So, and it even covered the tow. So, I was willing to try their re-engineered product. I'm not going to jump right out there and chase them down the road to get another one. So that's why we protected ourselves on that investment with warranty. And we do that on all of them. So I just wanted to put that together. I've been wanting to put that together for a while. I finally got it done and wanted to put it in your hand just for perusal. It kind of also goes hand in hand with the don't keep them too long, because they get damned expensive when they cross a certain year threshold. National statistics on a vocational use truck like what we're doing with these trucks, the big one is do not keep them past 8 years. That's like the cutoff. No matter what you do, get rid of them. So recoup what you can and move on. And that 10-wheeler is killing us. So anything else on that?
That's excellent, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay.
But yeah, I do want to thank Gene for starting that. Without the books going back to 2012, I would only have 3 years worth. So you can analyze it a lot better over 8 or 9 years than you can over 3. So
okay.
That's about it.
So we got
Jerry.
Two other items left on the work session here. I'll let you decide the sewer consolidation or the parks position. Whichever one you think will
parks.
Take. Okay, let's talk parks. Let's talk Jeff, parks. Jeff, I don't think Bob wants to talk parks.
No,
we'll
talk.
Well, you have a resolution in front of you to create and approve a new parks position that I think due diligence has been done by the Onondaga County Personnel Department, Beth Mortis and Carl Hummel. Beth is the technician and Carl is the acting commissioner, soon to be appointed permanent commissioner. So if you've got any questions, what this is according to them, we created as a management confidential position. It's certainly part of the New York State Civil Service program. And initially, we will go in as an appointed position. It will be up to New York State in several years from now to determine whether it's in fact an appointed position or a tested position. That does not preclude us from creating and hiring a person in this position. It's done all the time. You hire somebody provisionally, and so if and when it ever becomes a tested position, then the person. When we hire them, we tell them this. They say, well, you're going to have to take the test, pass it, and be reachable. And you know, I've been in that position three times in working for Onondaga County where I was appointed provisionally, had to take the test, et cetera. All my direct reports in Onondaga County Parks had to go through all of that. But if we don't get, if it doesn't get determined as to be a tested position, then it's fine. It's a, it's an appointed position. The board and the town supervisor, collectively five of us, we appoint this position. And it's a management confidential administrative position. We hire them as a salary position, so there's no set hours. You have to hire them for the hours. You say it's a 35-hour a week or whatever. What do people here work, 37, 30, whatever it is?
35.
That's the week, but at when you hire them as a management confidential, FLSA exempt, Fair Labor Standards Act exempt, they are expected and will be told, you work when the job dictates you work. If you're gonna work on a Saturday, you work on a Saturday. You don't earn comp time. Or overtime in those situations. So it's a salaried position. We can determine that you can certainly allow them to earn comp time. That's between us and the employee. Onondaga County does that with all of its management confidential people. So for example, I earned comp, not as the commissioner, but all of my direct reports that were management confidential earned up to, I think, 1 week's or 40 hours of comp time. You use it or lose it, that type of thing. It doesn't turn into overtime or pay at the end of your tenure. So it's a management decision. Questions?
So if we pass the resolution tonight, how long does New York State usually take for us to know whether it's going to be a tested position?
I said about, according to Beth and Carl, the way they're going with COVID and all of that, it could be 2 or 3 years from now. It could be 6 months from now. It doesn't matter, though, Roman. We still hire somebody on the.
I understand that. I'm asking.
But it could very well take that long. So, for example, even if this is a brand new position that doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in the New York State Civil Service roster. But let's say it did, and there was no existing list of qualified people for this job, it's basically an open job, you would still hire somebody provisionally with the understanding that when and if New York State decides to hold the test, which could be 6 months from now, a year from now, they have to take the test, pass it, and be reachable. We're hoping we don't even have to go down that road. So when I was hired as the Nature Center superintendent, for example, in 1978, I was hired and I took the job in January of 1978. It wasn't until 1979 that I took the test when New York State finally offered it. And I was obviously reachable. And that happened one other time with me, my director of recreation position. That's just the deal. Everybody in this business knows that. The people who are going to apply within New York State know the protocol that this is all about. And the way we will advertise is New York State Rec and Park Society and the Central New York Rec and Park Society. There's a statewide organization that puts out job notices. You're listed. We can do that as quick as tomorrow, for example. And we will have applicants on our desk, I suspect, within days. And then we set up a committee of the board or the full board to evaluate those applicants and hire who we think is best. And we also have to pick a salary.
Yep.
And so I'm suggesting that you go somewhere between 50 and 55. We ought not to be penny-wise, dollar-foolish. We will get the very best recreation director person in New York State if we hire somewhere between 50 and 55. I can guarantee you that. And if you want to spend a few dollars less, you're probably not going to get you're not going to even be close to getting the best. Most of the towns and villages are in that 50 to 60 range. I think I talked to you about that the FLS meeting. I've got those numbers here.
But we could put the range in there for the job description.
You could, but we need to pick a salary.
Yeah, the salary. We could do a range, correct? Or
I would pick a salary, a starting salary to be. So, for example, the town of Cicero is 74,752. Town of Camilla is 71,827. Manly is 65,027. North Syracuse 53,465. I would say you guys pick it, but I'm going to recommend. I'm going to start the discussion by saying let's make it 52,500, and call it a day. And then what we decide in 2022 is what we decide for everybody else. You can give everybody rank and file a 2% raise, and that salary goes up. Well, we can choose to view it always independent of everything else. That's up to us.
Well, I think moving forward, it's just like anything. We don't want to have our people fall behind. I mean, we're addressing that now in contract negotiations, and you know, at least from my perspective, I want to make sure that our people are being paid a competitive salary across the board. So I think that whether they're hourly, salary, management confidential, I mean, they're going to see increases. I think we should increase them as well as anybody else. You know, I don't think we should go crazy with it, but the only way to not have a problem where you're way behind is to just keep up with that. So,
and I don't want to keep talking, but one of the things I wrote in item H is this position shall oversee all parks and recreation activities of the town and any activities of a similar nature as prescribed by the town supervisor and town board. That means if we want to say to this person, you know what, go start talking to Baldwinsville, go start talking to Van Buren, see what you can do. So it's not just limited to the central park that we have. We can tell this person to do whatever we want within the world of parks and recreation. And that's the scope. And at that salary level, you're going to get someone that doesn't have to be babysat, Bob, which you don't want to do.
No, I don't. I do not. Thoughts about the salary?
I don't know. I'm going to defer to the expert on this.
Likewise, I'm happy.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right in the range that we had budgeted anyway.
Yeah, so we can put that in the motion?
52.5?
Yeah. 52.5.
Roman?
Yeah, it's a lot of money, but I agree with what Bob said. You know, you pay for what you get. So I don't have a problem with it.
And we can advertise the video.
Oh, yeah. I'll write this up with your permission and get it out into those two channels. And if you want to put a notice in the messenger, we can do that too. Just clearly, we're not setting this up is that you have to be a town employee, a resident to get this job, but we can make that a parameter in our in-house discussions about when we review this person, that if two equal applicants come to us and one lives in the town of Lysander, well, guess what? We're going to hire the one that's in the town of Lysander. But we're not bound by that. If the best candidate happens to live in Cicero or Oswego, for that matter, you know, we'll pick the best candidate. You know, collectively, we'll pick the best candidate. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, you helped. You were very helpful, Jack. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we got a few more minutes. Anything else on that? Everybody good? Okay. The sewer consolidation. Do we need to have any more discussion on that? Personally, I'm good with that.
I'm good with it.
I'm good with it.
Yeah? That's easy. Now, when we get ready, what do we want to do with Jerry's management plan? Do we want to leave that motion with this 889 on there? Because the only thing that we're taking off, or do we want to wait till the next meeting and table this till the next meeting?
Personally, I prefer to table it and clean it up and have all the documents saved. I don't know what it
was. Yeah, we talked about it. That's what I thought was going to happen. But
you're okay with that?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Right. I understand.
Yeah. We'll bring a clean copy.
It's not going to hold you back at all?
We're still in plow.
Yeah. So,
you know, what that does, though, what that PMP does is we can't expend any monies on anything without that. So,
yeah.
But
we can get it done by the next.
We're not buying gravel tomorrow.
Right,
so
that's what I
figured. We got 2 weeks, so.
Yeah, we can get it done by the next meeting.
All right. I'll just get it cleaned up and put it in your mailboxes.
Thank you,
Chair.
The
next meeting.
All right. Anything else? Nothing else. We'll call the work session closed at 6:55. We've got 5 minutes.
Tony.
5 minutes.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Just